Avos Per Gimel Mishnah Aleph 3:1. We now start the third chapter of Avos, and we meet Akavya ben Mahalalel. Now, Akavya was a contemporary of Shmaya and of Talion, which means that we're actually going a bit out of order here. If you're keeping track, in the first parak we basically went through the Zugos, Shmaya and of Talion, and Hillel, and then Hillel's direct descendants, and then in the second parak we went back to Hillel's most important student, Yochanan ben Zakkai, and his students. And now those were essentially the second generation of Tanai. Now we're going back up to the period of the Zugos. You'll notice Akavya here does not have even like a Rebbe before his name. He was in a way bigger than that, as was the generations before the Tanai. And he was especially notable. The Mishnah says, and the Gemara quotes it also, it's a Mishnah Edius, Perkei, Mishnah Vav, She'ein Azara Nineles Bifnei Chol Adam Yisrael. The gates of the Beis HaMikdash, when they closed, you know, on the different groups in during the Korban Pesach, so meaning all of Klal Yisrael was present inside, all the important people were inside. So it never closed on anybody that was greater, B'chachma uv'yiras chet Ka'kavya ben Mahalalel, who was greater in wisdom or in fear of sin than Akavya. And so he was obviously one of the greatest, and so he gets mentioned over here, and he has a message. Now, this message, I think, is quite familiar, especially to people in Eretz Yisrael, because this Mishnah is recited twice, actually, as part of the Kavura process, when one is interred and buried in Eretz Yisrael. So as part of the procession, they recite this Mishnah twice. So let me read it to you. It says, Akavya ben Mahalalel Omer, Histakel b'shlosha devarim, v'iyata bat lidei avera. Look at three things, and you won't come to the hands of sin. Da ma'ayin basa, know from where you came, ula'ana taholech, and where you are going, v'lifnei miyata asid liten din v'cheshbon, and before whom you will be giving your ultimate judgment. Ma'ayin basa, where did you come from? Metipa srucha, from a putrid drop, ula'ana taholech, and where are you going, l'makom afar rima v'soleya, to a place of dirt, maggots and worms, and who will you ultimately be giving your judgment before? Before the King of Kings, the Holy One, blessed be He. So that's the Mishnah translated. Now, right away, it should stand out to you that the Mishnah is kind of repetitive. It first says, look at three things, and then it says, it goes on to explain what those three things are, repeating them again. Question is why? So I saw a beautiful explanation, a suggestion in Ethics from Sinai and Irvin Bonham's book. He suggests it's repeated twice because the Mishnah is addressing two different parts of a person. The part that's obvious and stands out is addressing the body, the guf, and it's saying don't get ahead of yourself, don't fall into the clutches of sin because you have humble beginnings, you have humble endings, and you have ultimate judgment. But the first time it's saying it, it's actually speaking not to your body, but to your soul, the higher part of you. And it's saying, not focusing on the shiftless Adam, the lowliness of a person, but rather the godless Adam, the greatness of a person. And it's saying, if you focus on these three things, you won't come to sin. First of all, know from where you came. Your soul came as a chelek elokam mimal. It's a portion of Hashem. It's endowed with bechira. It's the purpose of existence. And that's you. And Lana Taholech, where are you going? You're going to the world where you can make a difference. You can be a shutef with Hashem, a partner with Hashem in creating the world and fixing the world and fostering a permanent, eternal relationship with Hashem like nothing else can. And ultimately, that will be in the hereafter where you'll once again be connected to Hashem in the Olam HaEmes, where you'll be able to give din v'cheshbon, stand b'din, and have that eternal relationship. So that's very exciting. But then you have to talk to the body. If that doesn't work in getting you to sort of the carrot, if you will, the looking at your greatness doesn't keep you from sin, you also can get the body to know something else. So then we focus on the body part. So that's his explanation. Let me just go through the words. There are a lot of kind of interesting words here. I want to just take them apart one at a time here. First of all, it says, histakel b'shloshal devarim, look at three things, v'yata ba lidei avera. You won't come into the hands of sin, as opposed to come to sinning. What are the hands of sin? So the suggestion is that these are the things that are the causes, the root causes why one comes to sin. So this mission will have a recipe to fight or not come into the clutches of these three different areas where one is like, you know, that's the where one falls into the trap of sin. We'll explore in a moment. Then he says, "Da, know Ma'ayin va'asa l'ana taholechum lifnei miyat asad liten din v'cheshbon. The question is, what's the extra word da, no, coming to K-N-O-W? What's that coming to do? So the suggestion is that you can look with your eyes where you came from, where you're going. Those are physical things, but the ultimate din v'cheshbon is something which you never can see. It's in the hereafter, and therefore you have to only know it in your mind's eyes. So to speak, you have to know it. That's the da part of it. Then it says, ma'ayin ba'asa, from where you came, an unusual word, ma'ayin. It really parallels the ula'an and where you're going. I think la'an more familiar of a word. But ma'ayin and la'an are from where and to where. And also, Irving Bowman points out that ma'ayin is spelt male with an extra yud, whereas la'an is not. So he suggests maybe that is Marameh's interesting idea, the same kind of, a similar idea to how when a person is born, it's been observed, his hands are closed, and when you die, your hands are open. When one comes to the world, he's like about himself and taking, and at the end, he's not for himself at all, he's giving because you can't take it with you. So too, when you came to this world, you're full of yourself, you're full of aspirations, you're full of possibility and potential, but by the end, whatever you've spent your opportunity, hopefully you've lived up to your potential, but you leave this world with nothing to take the next world from this world. You can't take it with you. What you have is what you sent on ahead of you, if you will, meaning your tshuva and good deeds. So that's that. Now he says, ul'ana taholech, now where you are going. Holech is present tense, where you're going to now. Why does it say that? Because, and this is sort of a morbid thought, but a very important one that people will try to avoid, which is, every minute that passes, you're a minute closer to being in the ground. Since the moment we were born, we're holech, we're approaching the grave, we're heading that direction. And you know, way back when I was a feisty youngster, sometimes people used to ask me how I am, and I'd say I'm dying, and that would really upset them, and then I'd say, no, I'm not really dying now, just we're all dying. No one ever appreciated that, so don't try it at home. But the sentiment is true, that we really are all dying, and we should really focus on that a little bit, which would motivate us to make use of the time that we have, because our time is, you know, we only get one chance at it. And lifnei miyata asid liten din v'cheshbon, for whom you'll be giving din v'cheshbon. So what is this expression, first of all, liten, to give? To, like, nesina, giving, sounds like something from your own volition, but we don't have the option of, like, donating the judgment. It's taken from us whether we like it or not. So Tos Yonta speaks out, the idea here is that since one makes choices in this world, and those choices are then what automatically become the basis of our din v'cheshbon, our judgment is based on the choice we make down here. So you actually volunteered, you chose by your own volition to make this din happen, because it's your choices, it's nothing but, you know, what you yourself did. As far as din v'cheshbon, there's also an interesting expression. Din means judgment, and cheshbon means calculation. So what does the idiom mean? What are the two parts of it? So the simple understanding, like Tos Yontov explains, is that you are omed bedin, you stand in judgment, and they make a cheshbon on your action. They sort of weigh each action. That's the cheshbon. But the Gra has an interesting idea, which is, I think, very important and also very true, which is the din is on what you actually did, the actions of your past. But the cheshbon is what you didn't do, but what you could have done, the lost potential. So it's not just that you did some avera, that you get din for that. But the cheshbon will be what you could have been done instead if you wouldn't have been wasting your time with that avera, all the other good things you could have been doing. So you get punished on that as well, potentially. That's din v'cheshbon. A third shot, also interesting and also true, I think, is that the din is on what you actually did, but the cheshbon is the calculation of the consequences of what you did. So a person does a mitzvah down here, it's not just that he did a good deed, also the good deed has ramifications. It could influence people that could do more good things. You can inspire people to do other things, and that inspiration could last on for days or weeks or even generations. And whatever stake a person's act has in making the good totsa'ot, the ramifications, he gets credit for all that, you know, for good or for not good. And therefore, that's the cheshbon. Now, what does the Mishnah say you're looking at? So first, ma'ayin ba'asa, from where you came, that's metipa srucha. A tipa is a drop, a srucha is like something that's rotting. It's a reference like the drop of semen. The Bartanur seems to think it's important to bring out, so I'll just echo the sentiment, that technically speaking, the actual tipa from which you came wasn't srucha, wasn't masriach, it wasn't rotten because it fertilized into you. But in general, that's what one thinks of it. That's what one thinks of is the the gross drop. Ul'ana taholech, and where are you going? L'makom afar rima v'soleya. So afar is dirt. Rima is maggots. Those are like the, you know, little worms that come from the eggs of like flies and the like. And toleya is worms. Think like, you know, earthworms and stuff. So that means, you know, you have a very finite, unpleasant end. That's where your body goes anyways. So that's Lifnei Melech, Malachim, Malachim, Kadosh Baruch Hu. That is in front of Hashem. And of course, it doesn't say just Hashem. It has this very elaborate Melech, Malachim, Malachim, HaKadosh, Baruch Hu, all these elements. So that is really to emphasize like the weight of it, because if you're thinking about before whom you're giving judgment as a way to remind yourself to take, you know, life seriously, so we emphasize the seriousness. Now this, that very expression is used, and this whole sentiment is expressed in the Gemara. I should really, if I could just read it out to you. This Gemara in Brachas Chavches Amud Beis, it says, I'll read it out to you and translate just quickly. There's no better way I can explain this mission, the Gemara itself. It says, "Keshechal Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai." When Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, the one who established Yavne, as we discussed before, and sort of saved Yiddishkeit after the Churban, so when he got sick, Nichnasu Talmidav Levakro, his students came to visit him. Kevin Shiro Osam Hischil Livchos. When he saw them, he started to cry. Amru Lo Talmidav. So his students said to Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, "Ner Yisrael." Amar HaYamini, Patisha Chazak. These are different expressions. Light of Israel, the right pillar, the mighty hammer. Mipnei Ma Ata Boche. What are you crying about? Amar Lehem. He said to them, Ilu Lifnei Melech Basar V'Dam Hayu Molichim Osi. If they'd be bringing me just like a regular flesh and blood king. Shayom Kanu Machar Bekever. He's around today, but he's gone tomorrow. Shim Koes Alai Ein Ka'aso Ka'as Olam. If he gets angry at me, it's not an anger for eternity. Im osrani ein isuro isur olam, if he, you know, confines me, traps me, jails me, that's not forever. Vim me misani ein misasi misas olam, if he, a flesh and blood king, would kill me, so it's not an eternal death. Vani yachol lefaiso b'devarim, I could, you know, maybe convince him with words, appease him so he shouldn't punish me. Leshacht b'mamon, I could bribe him with money. Even if that's who I was approaching, still I'd be crying in fear of this judgment on my life. But now they're bringing me before, and this is the exact same words of our Mishnah, Melech Malchei HaMalachim HaKadosh Baruch Hu, King of Kings, the only one blessed to be He, Shu Chai V'Kayam, He is eternal, La'olam Olamim, forever and ever, Sheim koes lai kaaso kaas olam, if he gets angry at me, it's an eternal anger, etc., etc., and I can't appease him. So then, lo evche, does it not make sense that I should be crying? So that sentiment is the sentiment of our Mishnah. We're saying, we're adding the weight of whom we're confronting in Din V'Cheshbon. There's no wiggling out of it. It's a permanent, eternal, highest stakes possible of all of existence, and therefore, that's terrifying and should move one to avoid sin. And therefore, the Mishnah is really saying three things, summing it up here. He's saying, there's three things you have to be concerned about. First, in terms of one's falling into the clutches of sin. The first is what is gaiva, arrogance. A person thinks he's important, overly important, and therefore he won't do the right thing because he's too busy thinking about himself. So for that, one should look to the fact that he originates as a tipasrucha. He has a very lowly beginning. And second of all, the person does sins because of taiva and havas mammon, lust for this world and things of this world. So for that, he should think about his end. It's nearby. He's heading that way. You can't take it with you. He'll be in the ground before you know it. And in terms of just the desire to, you know, to cut corners and do the wrong thing and not invest in the right thing, no, you'll be giving din v'cheshbon every little prat and prat, every detail of one's life, one's choices, one's decisions will be weighed and measured. The consequences, even the consequences of the consequences, even the lost potential of the things he didn't do, what he could have been doing, and so on, all will come to bear. And therefore, if one thinks of these three things, it will save him from falling into the clutches of sin.